Now we continue with our sermons in Deuteronomy, and turning again this morning to chapter 33 and reading once more the first 12 verses of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and from verse 1 to verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded as a law even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifices upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise up against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Amen. Amen. This morning in our time together, we come back to these last and final words of the Lord's servant Moses, where he sets out to bless the children of Israel just before the hour of his death. And just before they were to cross over the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan. In the first 5 verses of the chapter that we looked at, first of all, the Lord's servant is setting before those people the one from whom all their blessings would ever flow, the Lord their God in heaven above. And then in our time together for last week, we began to look at something of the individual words of blessing that Moses then goes on to pronounce upon the individual tribes of that nation in those days. In verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah, and he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and so on. And on each and every one of the tribes of the nation of Israel, with the exception of the tribe of Simeon, the Lord's servant has a word to speak, a blessing that he seeks for each and every one of them in their own particular way. Now, as we said last week, the individual blessings on the individual tribes are many and varied, and they continue to be couched in all of that poetic language that Moses is using from the outset of the chapter. And rather than try to go into all of the details then of the individual blessings on the individual tribes, it seemed best just to try and gather in some of the generalities of blessing that you might say that the children of Israel would stand in need of once they would cross over the River Jordan and into the land of Canaan, where they were to exist as God's people within that land. And in our time together for last week then, out of those verses that we read together again this morning, first 12 verses, there are at least 2 of those blessings that they would ever stand in need of. And they were, on the one hand, the blessing of sufficiency in all their ongoing warfare, and the blessing of acceptance in all their ongoing worship and their service before the Lord their God. In the preceding verses, in the first five verses, you remember, the Lord's servant Moses is telling the children of Israel to account themselves as being on God's heart and in God's hand, and as sitting at the feet of the Lord their God to hear his word. In verse 3, yea, he loved the people, they were on his heart. All the saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. And in a very real sense, when you begin to gather together all the blessings that now are set upon the heads of the tribes of Israel, it's really an enlarging of that position that Moses is setting before the people. In the will and in the purpose of God, there are many years lying before them in the land of Canaan. And assuredly then, they are to think of themselves in terms of being on God's heart and in God's hand and sitting at the feet of the Lord their God. And nowhere more so should they think of themselves under those terms and those positions than when it comes to their ongoing warfare to possess the land that the Lord has promised to them, and their ongoing worship in the land that the Lord has granted them to have, to be his people in the land. And it was the first of those blessings then that we looked at last time, the blessings of God's sufficiency for all of the ongoing warfare that they were going to have to face. And as Moses begins with the tribe of Reuben in verse 6, let Reuben live, he says, and not die, and let not his men be few. And as we saw, he's speaking about his men of war, Reuben's men of war. And then as he speaks about Judah, let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. And then we glanced at the tribe of Gad and Dan, and even little Benjamin, you remember, comes into that category of the ongoing warfare that Israel was to face. And as he begins then, as he begins to bless the tribes, as you gather in those generalities of blessing, then this is one of the generalities of blessing. It is the blessing of God's sufficiency for them in all of their ongoing warfare. And as we saw, of course, you take all of that, you transfer all of that over into our spiritual warfare as the people of God in the world that the Lord has set us. All of the ongoing warfare that we're ever going to have all the days of our life. And in that warfare, we're ever going to stand in need of God's sufficiency to us. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defence is sure. And we look then at something of that, the blessing that is pronounced on Benjamin and on Levi, even on Judah and the different tribes, but you gather it all together, and it's the blessing, no doubt, that they stood in need of, the blessing of God's sufficiency in all of their ongoing warfare. Now, having looked at something off that last time for this morning, something of the second of those two blessings, the blessings of acceptance in all of their ongoing worship and praise and service of the Lord their God. The blessing of their sufficiency in their warfare, and the blessing of acceptance in their ongoing worship. And that comes especially in the words of blessing that Moses speaks on the tribe of Levi, and especially in the words that he speaks in verse 11 of the chapter regarding that tribe. Bless, Lord, his substance, he says, and accept the work of his hands. Accept the work of his hands. And as we'll see, of course, as you probably know, the tribe of Levi was the one tribe in the whole of the nation of Israel that was to see to the things of the sanctuary. They were to see to the things of the tabernacle, the service of God, the worship of God. God had appointed them and ordained them for that very calling. So in a very real sense, when Moses is looking for the blessing of acceptance to be on the tribe of Levi, he's looking for a blessing that is going to affect all the tribes of Israel. As Levi would be accepted before the Lord indeed, so that blessing would flow out to all the people. So it's something of that, something of the needed blessing for Israel in those days. And as always, of course, so those things come to their fullness and their fulfillment for us in these gospel days. So first of all, to begin with the concept of acceptance itself. Bless, Lord, his substance, says Moses, and accept the work of his hand. And when Moses prays for such a blessing as that to be bestowed upon the tribe of Levi in particular, he's setting before us, my friends, a never-abiding lesson for all our hearts and all our souls, all the days of our life, as we're called to be the people of the living God, namely, that we always stand in need of finding an acceptance and being accepted by the Lord our God in heaven above, and finding that acceptance in the way that God has appointed and ordained in his beloved Son. Whether we're thinking in terms of our persons or our offerings or our works or our service or our worship, it is God himself who lays down the grounds for our acceptance. And that comes right from the outset of the Word of God and right through the Word of God into heaven and glory at last. Way back in the beginning of these three books of Moses, you remember, that we've been looking at for a good while now, that is one of the first things that comes to be established as Moses speaks to the people just when they had arrived at the mountain of Sinai. In the opening chapter of the book of Leviticus especially, where you have all those minute details spelled out to the children of Israel when it comes to their worship of God and their service of God and their acceptance before the Lord. They're told what they are to do in order to find that acceptance. They are told what kind of sacrifices they are to bring, how they are to bring them, where they are to bring them to, why they are to do that. Indeed, they are told how they are to feel when they do that very thing. And when God lays that down, he's establishing a principle that if anyone will ever be accepted with him, it will be in the way of acceptance that he has given them to have. And you remember in Leviticus where the offerer is told to bring his offering to the door of the tabernacle, not somewhere else, to the door of the tabernacle. An offering, he says, for a burnt offering, without spot or blemish, not just any old offering that he decides to bring. He is to bring it and offer it of his own voluntary will. It's a free will offering that he's giving out of his heart before the Lord. And it says, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. It shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. It shall be put to death in his place, that he might find an acceptance before the Lord his God in heaven above. And that was God's arrangement. And it was God's arrangement in principle from the very outset, from the very moment when our first parents fell in the Garden of Eden. You know the incident well enough, the two brothers, Cain and Abel. You know how they brought their offerings before the Lord. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain he did not have respect. And there's one explanation for that, and it's the explanation that the Word of God gives to it. It says that it was by faith that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, not a more excellent sacrifice in that it cost any more, but it was excellent because it was done by faith and in faith. The Word of God says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And whatever way God did it, God made his word clear to Abel and to Cain, and they were to take that way. And when Abel took that way, then indeed he was accepted before the Lord. And Cain could have been accepted before the Lord as to our reasoning just as readily as Abel. And when Cain's countenance fell and he was wroth, you remember how the Lord spoke to him? Why is thy countenance fallen? Why art thou wroth? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Take the way of acceptance, and you will be accepted. And God lays that principle down right at the outset. And of course, you know the lamb that Abel offered, great picture of the Christ who was to come, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And when God lays down his way of acceptance in the nation of Israel these years further on from the Garden of Eden, it's the same way of acceptance in a more elaborate form. That's all it is. That's all it is. And if you want to think along these lines in Cain and Abel, you have the foundations of how any man or woman or young person will ever be accepted before God. In the nation of Israel, you have that superstructure being raised up with all the intricate details. And then when Christ came and stood before this world and said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that's the topmost stone. That is the capstone on all of the way of acceptance that God gives in Christ. And that's when Paul uses that lovely expression that God hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in his Beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased as he came into this world to be the sacrifice for our sins. Be sure of this, my friends, looking back the way, or present or future, that it was God and is God alone who lays down the way of acceptance for man, woman, ever to come before them, with their person, with their offering, with their works, with their worship. And as Moses, you see, seeks the blessing of acceptance to be poured out on the tribe of Levi, as Levi will enter into the land of Canaan, that fact is brought before us in a very, very telling way indeed. And we shouldn't lose just how telling a way it is brought before us in the tribe of Levi. Well, in the first place, as I've said already, the tribe of Levi was the tribe in Israel that had been ordained and appointed to see to the things of the sanctuary, the things that belong to the worship and the service of the Lord their God. And you may remember way back in the book of Numbers, just as Israel was about to leave the mountain of Sinai and begin their journey to the land of Canaan, the Lord tells Moses to do two things, two very significant things, in the light of these blessings, in fact. He tells him to appoint an army for their warfare, and he tells him to appoint a priesthood for their worship. Those two vital ongoing things, you see. And that priesthood, in fact, was to be appointed and drawn out of the tribe of Levi. And I'll just read you the verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. Aaron himself, of the tribe of Levi, of course, was the first high priest in the land. And then the members of the tribe of Levi, they were to be the ones who would minister about the things of the tabernacle, the worship and the service of the Lord their God. Aaron's immediate sons were to be priests in the first place under him, but each and every Levite had that calling, had that appointment to be about the work of the sanctuary and the tabernacle. You see, when Moses now comes to ask for a blessing of acceptance to be granted, this is the tribe that he's asking God to pour out the blessing of acceptance upon. And when Moses prays for that, my friends, we're not to lose the application of that to our souls in any way whatsoever. The application is this, very simply. Regardless of their appointment or their ordination or anything else that the Lord might have given to them in those days, unless they took the accepted way of worshipping and praising and serving the Lord their God, there would be no acceptance for them in any way. He's praying for something that they're going to need every day of their life. He's praying for an ongoing acceptance from God for these people in their worship and praise and service. And built into the blessing that Moses is seeking for them is the clear implication that if they don't go on seeking and finding their acceptance in the way that God has appointed, they will not find any acceptance before the Lord their God in any way. You can't read the blessing unless you read it against the background of what forms the grounds of acceptance in the first place. And the grounds of acceptance for anyone, be they of the tribe of Levi or Gad or Dan or Judah or whatever, the way of acceptance is the way that God has ordained and established. You see, there's nothing more ingrained in the human heart than this, that men and women will come to God and worship God and serve God in whichever way is most suitable for themselves and most favorable for themselves. And when Moses comes here with his dying breath to ask for the blessing of acceptance to be bestowed upon the tribe of Levi, my friends, he's laying that notion in the dust. Because it doesn't matter whether they're that appointed tribe or ordained tribe or whatever. Doesn't matter who they were or who we are or who we think we are or anything else. If a man or a woman or a young person steps out of God's ordained way of acceptance before him, there is no acceptance. And the Lord's servant says, Lord, bless this tribe. Accept the work of their hand. How will the work of their hands ever be accepted unless they come in the way of acceptance that God has laid down? So it's a very telling blessing, especially as it's pronounced over the head of this particular tribe. And as I say, for us, my friends, for anyone, never ever to think that our acceptance with God is simply down to something that we think we have or think we've been given. It is down to taking God's way of acceptance all the days of our life. There's a hymn at the back of this month's Wicked Gate. It says, never further than the cross, never higher than thy feet. And that's where we see ourselves all the days of our life, regardless of who or what or anything else. It is God's way of acceptance that we bow to in order to know the blessing of our ongoing acceptance before the Lord with whom we have to do. There's a sobering, solemn example of that very thing out of this very tribe of Levi itself. Dan's recorded for us on the pages of God's Word. Concerns two men who weren't only Levites in the general run of things, they were priests out of the tribe of Levi. And indeed, they were the two sons of the high priest, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. And in their behavior, or their behavior, is meant to stand as a never-abiding memorial for anyone who thinks that they can take a way to God other than the way that God has ordained. And again, it's possibly a well-known incident to you, and it involved those two men taking it into their head that they could worship and serve and praise God in the way that seemed suitable to them. comes on the back of a tremendous outpouring of God's blessing, where Aaron has come before the Lord and where he's offered an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord has poured out fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. That was always a sign that God was well pleased with the worship that was being set before him. Now, when Nadab and Abihu see that and see the reaction of the people, people are impressed. Sure they are. Well, they say, let's do something like that ourselves. Let's make an impression on these people ourselves. So they take fire, and they put it in their censers, and they take the fire before the Lord to call down fire from heaven, which they do, but not the kind of fire that they thought. And their end is a terrible end. And it simply says this, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now that's the Bible. That's the Bible. And it's what God did with those two men. It's unique. It's a unique incident. It's unrepeatable in the sense that people can't do that kind of thing today in that way in which they did it. But when you break down the elements of it, my friends, what they did was this. They offered unto God fire that he hadn't commanded, in a place that he hadn't commanded, in a way that he hadn't commanded, at a time when he hadn't commanded. God had directed how all of those things were to be done. They took it into their head, and they said, no, we're going to do it another way, and another way that will really bring down God's blessing upon the people. Strange fire. They offered strange fire before the Lord. And there's an awful lot of strange fire going about today in the churches of the living God. I don't want to get tangled up in any of that. Where would you begin and end? Where would you begin and end, my friends? But you know, last Lord's Day evening, when we referred to those words of that old pagan king Nebuchadnezzar, I couldn't help but think along those very lines. You remember that, again, they're well-known verses, I'm sure. God had passed his judgment on Nebuchadnezzar. And his judgment on Nebuchadnezzar was this, that he was going to crawl on all fours like a beast of the field. That was God's judgment. When God looked upon Nebuchadnezzar and said, I'm going to judge him, the judgment was that he was going to scrabble about on the floor like a beast of the field on all fours. Now, that's supposed to be a blessing today among God's people. If you crawl around on all fours and roar like a lion or bark like a dog, you've got the blessing. Have you? Have you? You remember when God restored Nebuchadnezzar, and it was those words that we referred to. And at the end of the days, it's his own testimony, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Tremendous words. Are they not tremendous words? I lifted up mine eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. I was no longer acting like a beast. I was acting like a man. Like something that God had created as the pinnacle of his creation. I lifted up mine eyes to heaven. Where else? Where else? That's where God was. I shall lift up mine eyes unto the hills, says David, from whence cometh mine aid? Mine aid comes from the God who made the hills. And even old Nebuchadnezzar, my friends, could see that and realize that. Mine understanding returned unto me, because his understanding had been taken away. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him forever and ever. I don't know where we are today. I don't know where we are today. But certainly you take this Bible, and I say this without one inch of hesitation. Much that goes on today has no place whatsoever in this Bible that God has given us to have. When we bring our persons and our offerings and our works and our service before the Lord our God to praise and to honor him, it is in the way that he has appointed for the acceptance of those things with ourselves. And when we deviate from that way, there is no guarantee in the wide, wide world that we will find any acceptance before the Lord. That applied to Levi. That ordained, appointed tribe. And regardless, my friends, of who we are, or what we think we have, or what we have been given, if we move away from God's appointed way into his presence in his beloved Son, and unless we constantly keep to that way all the days of our life, we'll not know any acceptance to the blessings of our hearts and our souls. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. And if the tribe of Levi continued to know a blessing like that, then they were going to be blessed indeed in the days that lay before them. So the blessing is asked against the background of who they were, you see, or maybe it would be better to say regardless of who they were. They needed the blessing. They needed the blessing of acceptance. And to have the blessing of acceptance, they needed to take the way of acceptance that God had laid down in his word. They were an appointed tribe. They were an ordained tribe. It says in an earlier verse there, they were to teach Jacob God's judgments. They had all of that calling. But their blessing of acceptance would always be in accordance with God's means of acceptance, and that they were never to overlook or forfeit in any way. And then there's this as well, that Moses is seeking this blessing on the tribe of Levi, regardless of what they had done, or regardless of what they had done in the past, perhaps you could say. See, the words concerning Levi's blessing of acceptance really begin in verse 8 of that chapter 33. That's the prefix to the whole thing. And again, without going into any of the details, they had behaved themselves well at Massa, it says, and at Meribah. Not only that, they had even been sacrificial in their service to the Lord, over and above those of their own households even at times. If you look at verse 8, and of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. See, it's a word of commendation. With regards to what that tribe, as a tribe in the whole, had done, stretching away back to the incident with the golden calf at Mount Sinai. As a tribe, they had acted well before the Lord in those former days, and the Lord's servant, under the hand of the Holy Spirit, takes recognition of that. as he comes to pronounce his closing words of blessing. But notwithstanding that, you see, what they stand in need of now, and what they stand in need of in a coming day, is the blessing of finding their acceptance before the Lord their God in the things that God has given them to do. It's a good thing when any of the people of God can objectively look to things that they were able to do in the name of the Lord. But nothing like that, my friends, will ever form the grounds of our acceptance with the Lord our God. The only thing that will bring us acceptably before God in the present and in the future is taking the way of acceptance that God has laid down for us now. And when you gather in that whole picture, you see, the tribe of Levi with the works of their hands and the praise of their lips would be accepted. And they would be accepted. Not on account of what they were or had done, but once they would come in the way appointed. And Moses isn't praying for the blessing of acceptance in isolation to the means of acceptance. And when he prays for the blessing of acceptance to be upon the tribe of Levi, he is praying indeed that Levi will be able to take the way of acceptance and know the blessings of that acceptance under the Lord. And for us, my friends, it's to be ever conscious that we can find an acceptance with the Lord our God indeed, but never to let it out of our souls for one split second that there is a way of acceptance. And the way of acceptance for us is always and ever in Jesus Christ the Saviour. And all the many, many passages of the Word of God that make that clear, crystal clear to our hearts and our souls. Let me just finish with one of the chiefest in a sense. It's Hebrews chapter 13. Parts of the Word of God that you should never cease to refer to. In fact, they should wear themselves out in the pages of our Bibles. And you know what the apostle is speaking about there. He's, and let me say this, if you want to know the Old Testament blessings come to their fullness, it's the Epistle to the Hebrews, of course, that bring the Old Covenant things to their fullness for the New Covenant people of God. And in chapter 13, beginning about verse 11, he's speaking about the Day of Atonement, that great day when the children of Israel found their acceptance before the Lord as a nation in a very remarkable way. When the high priest went in with the sacrifice and slew it, sprinkled the blood before the Lord. And then what Moses is referring to there is what concluded the Day of Atonement. And that was when they took the bodies of the beasts that had been offered up in the sacrifice and burnt them outside the camp of Israel, or when they moved into the nation of Israel, the land of Canaan, outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem. And he equates all that, you see, with our Lord Jesus Christ having suffered the sacrifice for our sins, not within the gate, not within the camp, not in the city of Jerusalem, but outside the gate. And then in the light of all of that that Christ has done, then you have those great exhortations to our souls. In verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus only, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And then this word, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his not a great word. You see, what he's saying is this. He's saying, you know how the Old Testament people were able to find an acceptance with God through the sacrifice that had been made? Well, we have the sacrifice and the fullness of it in Jesus Christ our Saviour, who suffered outside the gate, who suffered for our sins indeed. And let us, he says then, go forth on to him without the camp. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What we're called to render to God, my friends, if we are the redeemed people of God, is our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving to the Lord our Saviour. Let's do it, he says. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That's what we have the ability to do, and that's what we're called to do, but we're called to do it in God's appointed way. And it's that that he speaks about. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the praise, sacrifice of praise to God continually. By him. And that's our appointed way. And we never move one inch from that appointed way. Never to anything that we think we are or think we have done, not at the outset and not for one split second of our Christian life thereafter. Because it is always by him that we offer worship, sacrifice, service, praise, persons, whatever. It is by him. When the apostle writes to the Ephesians, and he's writing to Jews and Gentiles alike who have become one new man in Christ, and he says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How do we come to the Father? Through him. Through him. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In the end of that chapter 3 of Ephesians that we cited last week, you remember? Now unto him, that's the Father, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Our worship on earth is by him and through him. Our worship in heaven is by him and through him. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And my friends, never lose that. Never lose that. That there is only one way, blessed way, tremendous, unfailing way. But there is only one way. It's a gospel fact. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are acceptable by him and by him alone. And that fatal mistake of the human heart, as I've said, that it's not what we offer to God. It's what God accepts, and God only accepts what God ordains. That's not the end of the story, because he says, by him let us offer, but he says, by him, therefore, let us offer. And he's throwing us back, you see, those old therefores of the Word of God, and he's throwing us back to the picture of Christ set forth in the Day of Atonement as the sacrifice for our sins. And it's because he is the one who was made the sacrifice for our sins. It's by this one that we offer the praise and sacrifice of praise to God. Therefore, you see the picture, he says? It's all in the Day of Atonement. And Christ suffered without the gate. Let us therefore by him offer unto God the sacrifice of praise continually. And surely we can do that, and we're called to do it. Called to do it in every way. But our praise to God through Christ, you see, finds its most solid foundation in the death of Christ on our behalf. I will praise thee every day. Now thine anger's turned away, comfortable thoughts arise from the bleeding sacrifice. And that's the only way. And that's God's way of acceptance given to us, my friends. For every redeemed sinner, always and ever to come and worship God acceptably. The fruit, he says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The produce of our lips, you see, is the praise of God. And it's not simply the fruit that he's speaking about that comes out of the lips, it's the root that's embedded in the heart. Because you can't have fruit unless there's a root. And the fruit of praise that comes out of the lips is produced by the root of thankfulness within the souls. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we give thanks to his name continually. Continually. We'll do it in different ways at different times. And there are times, my friends, when a person can thank God with tears in their eyes. But we're to do it. And the grounds for our doing is what Christ has done for us. We have an acceptance, not on account of anything that we have of ourselves or have done by ourselves, on account of what Christ has done. And they're the grounds of acceptance. They were so on the very first day that any of us ever believed. They are so today, and they will be so until we are in heaven and glory at last. And when the Lord's servant Moses is dying, and when he takes on to ask for this blessing on this particular tribe, don't lose the implications. And the implications are crystal clear that there is a way of acceptance, but it's that way of acceptance we take in order to know the blessing of acceptance in our ongoing life. And may it be so, and to his honour and his praise.